You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Thursday, July 11, 2019. I'm just going to dive into some stuff and let the chips fall where they may. So I mentioned in the first hour, I think that there are some provocative sort of hidden gems in our founding documents. And the things that these guys are saying, why the emphasis, you know, the laws of nature, and nature's God. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. There was a discussion of slavery in those days. They were not without discussion. Now we have legalized indentured servitude. You know, it's perfectly fine as long as it's legalized, whether it's through, you know, the 13th Amendment and the criminal justice system, which is an oxymoron, let's be honest, speaking of the perversion of language. Or whether it's, you know, by contract, essentially. We all become GEICO, government employee insurance program, you know, indentured servants. Indentured servants. So, back to yesterday, just for a moment. It's funny, you know, air quotes, funny, you ask. The thing that I was talking about with regard to him, and that seems to resonate, that resonated with a number of folks, but, you know, that's the same kind of thing. Again, we hear this shouting in so many corners, you know, like I was saying with the LGBTQI plus stuff. I didn't start a group. I didn't staple a sign to a stick, as Sebastian Maniscalco says, and parade the, you know, drive the stick somewhere and parade the stick around. Speaking of parades, I didn't start a parade or, you know, heteronormative story hour or any other thing that's just naturally offensive, however plausibly deniable it may be and however much gaslighting is involved. You and I haven't done that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have all of these letters and there isn't a letter that represents me, then you're actually the one who's intolerant. You're actually the one who's exclusionary. But hold on a second, because I'm not going to attack the uninitiated masses of a rebellion, the uninformed, in self-targeting fashion. Instead, I will rather point to Mike Huckabee's words that just disappeared. Mike Huckabee, speech on foreign policy, Council on Foreign Relations speech at the CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies, back in 2007 on the presidential campaign trail. Excuse me, goodness. He said these words to create havoc in the world. Remember, so back to what we just heard. When anybody preaches disunity, tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, You know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives. That's pretty much it right there. Galatians chapter 2, the Judaizers. So Mike Huckabee said, here's if you're cunning, ambitious, unprincipled men, this is your one of your plays from your playbook. Or it's actually what, you know, it's a play series. What do you call that? You know, it's a, you know, a progression, a progressional series of plays. Anyway, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. And I, you know, maybe an accompanying passage from Bernays' Propaganda in 1928, you know, chapter 4, without their knowing it. Studying the group mind, understanding that the group, you know, the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual and is motivated by impulses and emotions which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know about of individual psychology. You take that, you combine that with what's his name wrote The Impact of Science on Society, what I read earlier already, you know, mass psychology. Has to be persuasive. We're in the post-truth era, America. Persuasive, the group mind, mass psychology, has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual, in other words, different, and is motivated by impulses and emotions which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know of individual psychology. And if you try to apply the individual thinking to the group, you will fail to understand it every time. And it happens. You can see it when you're talking to someone, you watch an interview on the street, for example, and when there are four or five people, suddenly that seems to give rise to a different, well, set of mental characteristics, as Bernays put it. Even just a handful of people. So Bernays wrote, so the question naturally arose, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? Well, probably, especially if they are the tyrant's majority that Hayek writes about in Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. Reason number two, that a group with fairly homogeneous views is not likely to be formed by the best, but rather the worst elements of any society. What is reason number two? The demagogue will obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own, but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values if it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently. It will be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused who will thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. Versus those folks who heed Caleb Lederer's reminder that fake news is an information literacy problem, not a technology problem. Who actually try to source and triangulate information, separating fact from opinion. Citation chaining, conducting research, or even basic concept of verification and validation. So, you know, Bernays says we can manipulate people without their knowing it, right? If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? So Mike Huckabee says, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people. I mean, this is textbook Marxism, just boiled right down to the absolute essentials. To create havoc in the world, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to create havoc? Why would you want to create, why would you want, you know, in Operation Cyclone to recruit the radicals? Does it still say that? Things change when you mention things on Wikipedia. Stuff goes away. No, I'm not interested in contributing. The program leaned heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups that were favored by the regime rather than other less ideological Afghan resistance groups that had also been fighting the Marxist-oriented Democratic Republic of Afghanistan regime since before the Soviet intervention. Well, golly, Gomer Pyle, why would radical or militant Islamic groups be recruited rather than less ideological, not religious, ideological Afghan resistance groups? Militant ideologues. Wahhabi, Salafi, Diobandi. Why? Why recruit them? Why create havoc in the world? Mike Huckabee says, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Those poor, desperate people, like Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. These intellectuals, though, that's different. The spark. Before the Russian Revolution, Huckabee said, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. America is functionally illiterate, by and large. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall. Yeah, because, you know, got a little skin in the game, don't want to, you know, rock the boat too much. You get people who have nothing to lose excited and who are under or un or misinformed all the more. What happens? Strong middle class is the firewall. Intellectuals provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark. The underclass is the fuel. We have a tinderbox in America. You know? And a flint right next to it that's thrown off several flints. Throwing off sparks on the tinder. But you know what? The bulk of the American population is not sitting around reading Karl Marx. Huh. So what's interesting to me, this laws of nature and nature's God conversation, it is something that is apart from man. It should be the central underlying foundational precept should be that it is immovable. It's one of those ancient boundaries that Proverbs talks about. Because if you can move certain things, well, bad things happen, you know, by degrees, little by little, through, you know, the designs of cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men. History tells us they do combine. So something apart from man. Speaking of the laws of nature, Blackstone's commentaries. Man, considered as a creature, must necessarily be subject to the laws of his creator, for he is entirely a dependent being. And consequently, as man depends absolutely upon his maker for everything, it is necessary that he should in all points conform to his maker's will. This will of his maker is called the law of nature. These laws laid down by God are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. Immutable, I suppose, is a central underlying precept. To make it just simple, in a word, immutable. These laws laid down by God are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. This law of nature, dictated by God himself, is, of course, superior in obligation to any other. Therefore, the Constitution is subject to it, you know, implicitly. It is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. The doctrines thus delivered we call the revealed or divine law, and they are to be found only in the Holy Scriptures, and are found upon comparison to be really part of the original law of nature. Upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, depend all human laws. That is to say, no human laws should be suffered to contradict these. Blasphemy against the Almighty is denying his being or providence, and uttering contumelious reproaches on our Savior Christ. It is punished at common law by fine and imprisonment, for Christianity is part of the laws of the land. And so you think about passages, Revelation in particular, about great blasphemies being spoken. So blasphemy against the Almighty is denying his being or providence. Does that ring a bell in America today? The things that have happened just in the last 20 or 30 years are remarkable, astonishing in this regard, to me anyway. If the legislature will positively enact a thing to be done, the judges are not at liberty to reject it, for that were to set the judicial power above that of the legislature, which would be subversive of all government. Well, that's not what you hear today, right? To deny the possibility, nay, actual existence of witchcraft and sorcery is at once to contradict the revealed word of God in various passages, both Old and New Testament. The preservation of Christianity as a national religion is abstracted from its own intrinsic truth of the utmost consequence to the civil state, which a single instance will sufficiently demonstrate. The belief of a future state of rewards and punishments, the entertaining just ideas of the main attributes of the Supreme Being, and firm persuasion that he superintends and will finally compensate every action in human life, parenthetically all which are revealed in the doctrines of our Savior Christ. These are the grand foundations of all judicial oaths. That's an interesting concept. I wonder if judges, conform to it. Which call God to witness the truth of those facts which perhaps may only be known to him and the party attesting. All moral evidences, therefore, all confidence in human veracity must be weakened by apostasy and overthrown by total infidelity. Wherefore, all affronts to Christianity or endeavors to depreciate its efficacy in those who have once professed it are highly deserving of censure. From Blackstone's Commentaries. So, these laws laid down by God are the eternal immutable laws of good and evil. The law of nature, dictated by God himself, is of course superior in obligation to any other. Immovable, even superior to the Georgia Guidestones. But the point is, you know, when you start to think about it, the laws of nature and nature's God. If you can be separated from God, you can be separated from the laws of God and the laws of nature and nature's God, and even separated from nature itself, which is what's happening with the technocratic agenda. Is it not painfully obvious to see that and being reduced to imbecility? You know, not juvenilia. That's a compliment, you know, being reduced to imbeciles. This, to me, seems what is happening in America very clearly, unfortunately. I'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around. more after this break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We know of an ancient radiation that haunts dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station.
Welcome back. So the concept of the laws of nature and nature's God as expounded by Blackstone, if we can be convinced that the immutable is not immutable, then from there it's a short trip to the administrative nightmare that we are currently, you know, in this broadcast anyway, swimming upstream against, I would say. And we are continually reduced to imbecility, as I said in the last segment. So imbecile is an interesting word. Webster's 1828 defines imbecile as weak, feeble, destitute of strength, either of body or of mind, impotent. Which I don't think is what people would Think of imbecility. Two definitions: want of strength, weakness, feebleness of body or mind. We speak of the imbecility of the body or of the intellect when either does not possess the usual strength and vigor that belongs to men and which is necessary to a due performance of its functions. This may be natural or induced by violence or disease. Violence is an interesting word, isn't it? Impotence of males, this is definition number two, inability to procreate children. Again, not something that would most people would think of, but is this not what is happening, the war that's being waged on the American? You know, people see it. You should be ashamed of yourself if you're a certain person because, you know, the persecution that you were never involved in of other people, it's clearly your fault. Which is absurd. So, word neck, imbecile, a person who is considered foolish or stupid, that's kind of more the contemporary vernacular, I would say, a person of moderate to severe mental retardation, having a mental age of from 3 to 7 years, and generally being capable of some degree of communication and performance of simple tasks under supervision. The term belongs to a classification system no longer in use and is now considered offensive. Oh, okay, well, that, you know, that must, clearly that's hate speech, so I shouldn't use that term anymore, even though it seems to represent what's happening. There's an imbecile epidemic, or an epidemic of imbecility, as far as I can tell. Marked by mental feebleness or incapacity, indicating weakness of mind, inane, stupid, foolish, driveling, idiotic, destitute of strength, whether of body or mind, feeble, impotent. Why can't we just call it what it is? And then from psychology, a person with a degree of mental retardation. And again, in orthodoxy, hindered in motion or delayed. Person with a degree of mental retardation between that of an idiot and a moron. In a former classification, a mentally retarded person, it applied to a person with an adult mental age of from 4 to 8 years and an IQ of from 26 to 50. But, you know, again, you're not supposed to use, that's offensive, that's hate speech. But it describes what's happening. Wow, but, you know, we can't, it's still, it's hate speech. You can't say that. Really? All right, well, I'm sure Ing Sock and the Mini True will give me the list of linguistically minimized words that, you know, double plus good. Ignorance is strength. If you can be separated from the laws of nature, you can be separated from nature. And if you can be separated from the laws of nature and nature's God, you can be separated from the God of nature, the God of these immutable laws. And it's a short trip to hell on earth from there. To me, that's the hidden, you know, if there's a Rosetta Stone in there, in those founding documents, to me it's that, I think. This idea of, as Blackstone puts it, laws laid down by God that are eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. And it's so interesting, you know, you look at the Ten Commandments now, especially man's relation to man, which is all predicated on man's relation to his creator. But you look at those, isn't that what we're hearing about? You know, we shouldn't murder people except for unborn children who can't speak for themselves. That's fine. It's all about a woman's right to choose. Really? What about the unborn women? Do they get to choose? Do they have the right to choose? Is it their body, their choice? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are ours. These days are ours. These days are ours.
Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, July 11th, 2019. A companion discussion from Blackstone's commentaries. Part one, rights of persons, rights of things. Is there a distinction? Rights of things? What is that? Again, that's a discussion for another day. Rights of persons and things. But wait, what's a person? 5 U.S.C. 551, right? Ralph Winterode reminds us from time to time. So, from Blackstone's commentaries, the feudal system, history of the feudal system, it is impossible to understand with any degree of accuracy either, because remember, John Adams tells us, 1765, dissertation on the canon and feudal law, settled design on foot to enslave all America, this must be done by degrees. First step seems to be the reintroduction of the canon and feudal law. What did Blackstone say about that? It is impossible, he wrote, to understand with any degree of accuracy either the civil constitution of this kingdom or the laws which regulate its landed property without some general acquaintance with the nature and doctrine of feuds or the feudal law. a system so universally received throughout Europe upwards of 12 centuries ago, yet surely no industrious student will imagine his time misemployed when he is led to consider that the obsolete doctrines of our laws are frequently the foundation upon which what remains is erected, and that it is impracticable to comprehend many rules of the modern law in a scholar-like, scientific manner without having recourse to the ancient. So the origin of feuds. The constitution of feuds had its origin from the military policy. I see. I mean, kind of like martial law type, yeah, the Roman civil, anyway. Had its original form, the military policy of the northern or Celtic nations, the Goths, the Huns, the Franks, the Vandals, and the Lombards, who all migrating from the storehouse of nations, who poured themselves in vast quantities into all the regions of Europe at the declension of the Roman Empire. It was brought by them from their own countries and continued in their respective colonies as the most likely means to secure their new acquisitions. And to that end, large districts or parcels of land were allotted by the conquering general. You know, the United States military-industrial complex and NATO, gosh, rings a bell. Large districts and parcels of land were allotted by the conquering general to the superior officers of the army and by them dealt out again in smaller parcels or allotments to their inferior officers and most deserving soldiers. I was reminded, you know, just as a parenthetical aside, yesterday I was kind of thinking about, you know, I mean, just, gosh, man, entertainment and music industry in particular used to seem like this glimmering thing that would provide fame and fortune. And you look at these people performing these days and they just seem like they just get run ragged and worn out and discarded. And who passes away with anything of their own, you know, since at least the days of the counterculture revolution, the CIA fomented counterculture revolution, we've seen instance after instance of this, you know, high profile celebrity figure that has it all only to pass away, and we learn this person had nothing. It was, you know, owned by their producers or whatever, you know, folks like, you know, the story of Tupac Shakur, for example, or, you know, what is going on with Michael Jackson's empire or Prince's empire, et cetera, et cetera. And there are other notable and provocative examples. But, you know, these things, these tchotchkes that are funneled to these people, which reminds me in feudal fashion of, you know, the most deserving soldiers. I digress. These allotments were called feuds, fiefs, or fees, which last appellation in the northern language signifies a conditional stipend or reward. Rewards of stipends, they evidently were, and the condition annexed to them was that the possessor should do service faithfully, both at home and in the wars, to him by whom they were given, for which purpose he took the oath of fealty. And in case of the breach of this condition and oath, by not performing the stipulated service, or by deserting the lord in battle, the lands were again to revert to him who granted them. In America today, we call it foreclosure. The mortgage. Anyway, the feudal relation, allotments thus acquired naturally engaged such as accepted them to defend them. Again, you know, soft power, hard power, smart power, NATO, military-industrial complex, Patrick Porter, market, security state. And as they all sprang from the same right of conquest, no part could subsist independent of the whole. How many military bases? 1,000? Anyway, sun never sets on the proxy's empire. Wherefore all givers as well as receivers were mutually bound to defend each other's possession. NATO, the coalition of the willing. But as they could not effectually be done in a tumultuous, irregular way, government, and to that purpose subordination, was necessary. Again, sounds familiar. Every receiver of lands or feudatory was therefore bound when called upon by his benefactor or immediate lord of his feud or fee to do all in his power to defend him. Such benefactor or lord was likewise subordinate to and under the command of his immediate benefactor or superior, and upwards to the prince or general himself, and the several lords were also reciprocally bound in their respective gradations to protect the possessions they had given. Sounds familiar. The feudal connection was established, a proper military subjection was naturally introduced, and an army of feudatories were always ready enlisted and mutually prepared to muster, not only in defense of each man's own property, but also in defense of the whole. This is basically the speech that third world nations get when the, the development bank, I forget the name of it now, when they show up and say, you know, someday, and that day may never come, someday I may ask you for a favor, you know. Marlon Brando, Godfather. And so here's how it works. You know, we hold all of your natural resources in trust. Actually, what that means is we're going to steal them. But, you know, we hold them in trust. And that is our way of ensuring that, you know, we're here to protect you, but you're here to protect us too. So someday, I may ask you for a favor. And that day may never come. Mutually prepared to muster, not only in defense of each man's own property, but also in defense of the whole and of every part of this, their newly acquired country. You want favored nation status, don't you? You want to participate in the credit monopoly, don't you? The prudence of which constitution was soon sufficiently visible in the strength and spirit with which they maintained their conquests. Yeah, who will make war against the beast? Feudal tenure supplants allodial ownership. And I'll end it there, but I've mentioned this many times. If it is a feudal system, if John Adams was right, if Jim Trafficant was correct and accurate in echoing John Adams' sentiments at all, then it is important to understand the feudal system and that, as Blackstone wrote, feudal tenure supplants allodial ownership. That is a point of controversy that I have seen arise in the last 20 years or so. It's all about allodial title, allodial ownership. Well, read Blackstone. Scarce had these northern conquerors established themselves in their new dominions when the wisdom of their constitutions as well as their personal valor alarmed all the princes of Europe. That is, of those countries which had formerly been Roman provinces but had revolted or were deserted by their old masters in the general wreck of the empire. Wherefore most of it, not all, of them thought it necessary to enter into the same or similar plan of policy. For whereas before the possessions of their subjects were wholly independent and hold of no superior at all. Gosh, that sounds nice. What happens when they come a-calling? To the great apostles of political freedom, the word had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men, release from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior to whom he was attached. Why? Well, you know, it's Dewey Oxberger from Stripes. It's, you know, because you were born here, you know, if you would have been born over there, then, you know, be different, but because you're born here, you know, then you are born into perpetual indentured servitude. For whereas before the possessions of their subjects were wholly independent and hold of no superior at all. Now they parceled out their royal territories or persuaded their subjects, wink, wink, to surrender up and retake their own landed property under the like feudal obligations of military fealty. And thus, in the compass of a very few years, the feudal constitution, or the doctrine of tenure, extended itself over all the Western world. That's interesting. We don't get that in school. We don't hear about that. Why is that? I ask rhetorically. Anyway, feudal tenure supplants allodial ownership. Is it right? Does it really? No, but by force. Maybe soft power, maybe hard power, probably smart power. This is what you want to do. No, I don't. Yeah, you want to do this. I do. Yeah, you do. I don't feel like I want to. Now you do. This is what you want. It's pervasive. It's everywhere. It's been around for a while. I digress. Let me close with a thought. We'll go to the phones here real quick. So, a couple of things. From yesterday, you ask women if they'd at least like to be asked with no ulterior motive, parenthetically, if they'd like help. And I dare say the overwhelming response, contrary to the establishment nonsense that you just can't seem to get away from, the overwhelming response is likely a resounding yes. Why wouldn't you at least want to be asked? But somehow the establishment media and overwhelming portrayal, however subtle and pervasive, is contrary. Who's lying, and why listen to liars other than to spot and root out their lies? One quick juxtaposition. Zionism versus the Naturi Carta, shall we say. You know, if you look up the Naturi Carta, I mentioned this the other day, I did the search, whatever it was, where is that? Naturi Carta, quote on state, and, what is the Naturi Carta? A sect of radical right-wing Jews. Let's see, where's another one? International ultra-Orthodox anti-Zionist group. That's close. Just this ultra-Orthodox, radical. You do a search, and the portrayal you get, if you're not familiar, is that they're radical, ultra-conservative, ultra-Orthodox, i.e. depicted as fringe lunatics. Here's a statement from the Rabbinical Council of the Naturi Carta. Tell me if this sounds like radical, ultra-conservative, i.e. fringe lunatics. Judaism means subservience to the Almighty, capital A, and acceptance of the Torah. Zionism means nationalism and is totally contradictory to the tenets of Judaism. Furthermore, Judaism teaches that we are in exile by divine decree and are forbidden to create our own sovereignty. We must act humbly toward all nations. We must not make any attempt to leave exile until the day, when the Almighty alone will redeem us without human intervention, without Baron Edmund de Rothschild's help, without Theodore Herzl, Chaim Weizmann, etc., etc. Without, what's his name? The Balfour Declaration, Arthur James Balfour. As Quigley intimated, it was actually, what's his name? Not Balfour? The Rhodes Milner Roundtable? Anyway. We must act humbly toward all nations. We must not make any attempt to leave exile until the day when the Almighty alone will redeem us without any human intervention, as he has promised. And the Torah forbids us to kill, steal, or harm others in this manner. Therefore, on all accounts, Zionism is contrary to Judaism. Authentic Jewish leaders have always opposed the existence of the State of Israel. As Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dashinki, the chief rabbi of Palestine, states in a declaration to the United Nations in 1947, quote, "We furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish state in any part of Palestine." Does that sound radical, ultra-conservative, i.e. fringe lunatic? You know, Bill Cooper had some sound bites when it comes to the subject. And reasons why, again, you know, everybody is encouraged to be drawn into this plot that's been fomented. It's just anti-biblical. It's satanic in nature. It's a moment on the world stage where, you know, the restrainer is taken out of the way and all hell breaks loose on earth. But, you know, certain people groups play certain roles very handily. And a people group that is sort of displaced on the stage of history lends itself well to a particular narrative. And Bill Cooper was very clear in pointing that out. And I agree to that extent. Not a race to me is factually inaccurate or incorrect, because Jacob's descendants, I would say, are a race. But that's, you know, that's sort of, I don't know, incidental. Point he makes is very relevant, I would say. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Back to, like I said, we'll go to the phones. To the phones. Myrn, Wisconsin, thanks for calling.
Hey, Chris.
Welcome.
I just wanted to point out, good morning. I wasn't even sure if you were live, but yep. I called into Mark's show with Jane the other day. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yes.
Yeah, but they don't really use questioning. You would assume, I mean, queer, they use questioning.
Right.
Who knows? It might be a litigious affair, just like AIPAC.
Right. Well,
is Public Affairs Committee,
not. Right. You did make that point of clarification, and all I was saying and what Mark was saying was that it is true. I've seen in literature written by people that associate with this group of people, however you want to say that, I've seen them use that term in the fashion that Mark mentioned. That's all.
Well, yeah, they do it to be confusing. Sure. Mm-hmm. They use both.
And it really does a mind job on a person when you hear someone shout, basically, "Hey, you can't use that word. That's hate speech." And then they use it, and that really does a number on people's minds.
One last thing, and I'll get off of here. CUFI, CUFI, Christians United for Israel, was in the Capitol on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And Hagee was one of the speakers, and it's just blaspheme. You know, they say, Christians
Talmudic
don't need
Zionists
Judaism.
Talmudic Zionists.
It's just total lies. It's just, and it's spooky looking. I mean, these people, you know, Isaiah 3:9, they show themselves, right? Their countenance.
Mm-hmm.
But so beware the leavening of the Pharisees. But but we were told these times would come, and as soon as they try to push Christ and God out, well, then of course, guess what rushes in. You know, it's not just suggestion. You're given suggestions by those that would have you accept this. That's why they're having so hard a time kicking a war off. We're not doing it.
And there is no such thing as a vacuum. So to your point, something fills that void. There is no vacuum.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's evil. I mean, that's what's trying to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the suggester in.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, and with children, I mean, it's when you kept saying about coercion and persuasion, and you know, I know too many that started that way when they were young, and it's mm-hmm. usually because the father's not around for one reason or another, and there's a lot of reasons, you know.
Yeah, and so, again, I mean, speaking of certain people groups, that's been, again, you know, hey, if you want social benefits, quote unquote, then we need to make sure that there isn't a man around, and because if there's you know, a man around, then he's supposed to do it, and so, you know, you can rely on Uncle Sam and Ism to take care of you, but at what cost?
Yeah, there's some fathers that needn't be around either, and you'll see they'll have, like, serial marriages, and they have no morals. They don't think they're coming back, you know, to a spiritual life, I guess, or whatever. But there's a few too many of that, and like you say, in media, you just see them just beaten up. I mean, it's really starting to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the other thing that happens when you take Christ out. There's, you know, you just, people are so dragged down. But these Q drops, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
They put out, I think, 58. I don't know if you look into that at all or not, but, and the pictures on all the levels in the island.
Getting back to our conversation the other day, that the QAnon stuff to me is what I would call a comic book for adults or a choose-your-own-adventure series.
Well, you haven't looked at it at all, have you? So you don't really know, do you?
I have, yeah.
Well, you haven't, seriously. If you're going to accept Talmud Vision Media, well, then you're not going to be accepting or even looking at anything seriously. And where do the comic books come from, Chris?
That's why I use that reference, you know. The depiction of basically what you find in the Theosophical Society and the Lucius Trust is the source of comic book material.
I'm talking about Marvel and DC. They're Jewish. They started with Jews.
So am I. But I still think Bill Cooper was right to this, you know.
Bill Cooper isn't here now, and he probably didn't have as much information as we have. Anyhow, thank you.
He had quite a bit more in many cases, I would say.
We're not living then now. We have to live now.
The pale horse is still relevant, so.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. We're gonna do this. I think we should, I got a little clip, speaking of Bill Cooper. I do think there was a reason, you know, he was the guy who predicted September 11th, 2001. They're going to try to blame it on Osama bin Laden. Don't you believe it. 3 months in advance. Something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. They're going to try to blame it on this guy. Don't you believe it. 2 months later, dead. There are other people that want to take credit for that. Still alive. Funny that. Here's Bill Cooper in his own words. Go ahead, please.
And I get people who still come to me all the time and say, Bill, you're all wrong. It's the Jews. The Jews are subverting the world. Man, it's not the Jews. It's not the Catholics. It's not the blacks. It's these men who belong to the ancient mystery schools who meet in secret and decide the fate of the world. And they belong to all different races and all different nationalities and all different religions to the public point of view. But in secret, it's a different story.
That's the abridged version. He has broader comments, but obviously we're out of time now. And target fixation is dangerous. I'll leave it at that. You know, it's if you're target fixated, then you're like the mole in whack-a-mole. So, I'll leave it at that. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. It really is. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.